So, to become a teacher, you know, you have to do an extra degree outside of your regular bachelor, right? Which I did that, right, consecutive. But after you do that, you apply to the Ontario College of Teachers and you get your certification, but you have to apply to the boards, okay? So I applied to the board in 2010, the year that I graduated. I was so excited, I finished my application, it was beautiful, I sent it in, but my official certificate as an Ontario Certified Teacher wasn't ready yet. So you send the interim one. Okay, so come September, come October, I'm thinking, I haven't heard anything all summer, what did I do wrong? Because obviously I did something wrong, not to get called. You're always thinking that, what did I do wrong? I called them up and she said, no, your application wasn't completed. I'm like, what? No, you never actually received your official certification. And that was my fault for not following through into making sure that I had the right paperwork that the company, in this case CDSB, because after that, that's it. I was not selected for the year. I had to wait till the next year to apply.
Oh my goodness.
So here I was thinking that I'm a horrible person and nobody wants me, where in fact it was because I didn't follow proper. You know. So then after I got, it's who you know, it's who you are too, but a friend of mine who I work with at the daycare had called me and said, because she was volunteering in the school, she said, I saw there was a position available to teach international language in Spanish with continuing education. And I said, okay, I called in, and they said, yeah, you don't need to be part of the union to apply, right, because there's a certain number of protocols you must follow, and I applied for it. Now, this is a position way below my qualifications, so to speak, right, because you don't need to be a teacher to teach for the continuing education. You can just go, as long as you know the language and you know the culture, you can teach it. I applied, and I went in, and I got it. And then a part of me, I'm not going to deny it, a part of me felt, I'm too good for this. You know, because you're thinking, oh my God, 7 years of school, and this is what I get, supply. So you got that moment where, and then I said, no, this is an opportunity that was given to me. And I took it. And actually, it meant I was on the board. And it meant that when I applied and I showcased that I was not afraid to just be part of the board. So I think it's very important that you apply, you make sure you apply correctly. That's a lesson I learned, is to really follow through on your application, right? Because after the year later, I got called for the eligible to hire list based solely on what I had showcased. So obviously, if my application had been, and I only got hired because I have Spanish, because they're not hiring right now on the boards. So my key there was having that language, you know, degree, because I could say all I want and I could teach it, but until you have the degree to say you can. And then that's a very important one.
Thank you. I think for me, it was just diligence, because I was applying to so many different entry-level positions, so I was just sending resumes off everywhere. And it's discouraging when you are sending so many resumes out and you're only getting so many calls back or interviews after that, but I mean, it's a process, and you know, I went to a lot of interviews. Some of them I were successful, some of them you weren't successful, but it's the exposure that you get, you know, going through the process, and you know, all different companies have different ways of hiring, so you learn, you know, what to do for each type of application, and even getting exposure going to the interviews, you know, you become more familiar with what they're going to ask you, what to expect, just things like that. So for me, it was just being very diligent and not getting discouraged. But in the end, it paid off. So,
I think it's knowing the target audience, spending a lot of time figuring out what are they looking for right now. So for example, if somebody were interested in teaching, the College of Teachers has a website and they indicate where are going to be in the next 10 years, what are going to be the subject areas, what's the age level, like what are the demographics saying about what you need to do. And then once you do get hired, you've got to do the same process, repeat mm-hmm. as necessary. What, if I want to have an interesting career, what additional qualifications do I need to get so that they'll look at me? So I think that would be my, yeah, know the target, do your research, and then get them what, give them what they want in the right package.
Absolutely. Research the company that you're applying to. Spend a fair amount of time understanding their industry, their goals, as much as you can get from websites. The recruitment agencies are also a good way because they do offer that additional kind of help and support to match you with the job that that would fit you well. And last but not least, also in line with networking, things like LinkedIn. If you know the name of the hiring manager, for example, research about them, see where they come from, what does their career look like, and that way you'll discover if you want to work for that company. You might discover through your research that, you know what, this company is not in line with really what I want to do, and that's sometimes more important than having the job. And I had a period where I was unemployed for about 3-4 months, and I was in the situation where I had to look at different companies and think, is this job where I want to go with my career, or should I wait and prepare myself better, and that opportunity, the opportunity that I'm looking for or that is right for me, will come maybe later, maybe not within the first month, but eventually, long term, it will pay off.
Andrea, I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more to your own experience. Like you worked at Research in Motion before LinkedIn. So can you walk?
So I worked at Research in Motion, and then I was unemployed for a period of time. I was researching various companies in various areas, right? So I had an option either to continue in telecommunications or change. Now I had acquired a taste for marketing. So when I looked at myself, I said, okay, you know, I have the languages, I have these skills that I've acquired so far, but really what I really like to do is marketing. So I started narrowing down my search to a position that had the requirements that I was looking for. So had the marketing aspect, had the languages requirement, had the international component, because I strongly wanted to work for an international company that would give me exposure and interact and an opportunity to interact with people from different cultures. I enjoy that tremendously. So it may have taken longer to find a position, but once you do, the fit is good. So you will feel good about your position. You feel that you can grow within the company of your choice. So that has been my experience, and it is not my personal experience, but I know people who have successfully used LinkedIn to search for jobs. So for example, introducing through a third party, right? So you see that the company that you're targeting, for example, they're within your extended network, there are 30 people that work for the company that you would like to work for. So then using your network in order to reach to the individuals that are working, for example, in the department, you know, you're looking for a supply chain position in a specific company. Looking within your network and see if you can get an introduction or a recommendations, a referral internally for a position that might be open, because that will definitely increase your chances. You can still apply externally, follow the same protocol, but having someone submit internally a referral to human resources increases the chance that you will be at least asked for an interview.
Thank you. And also just to add to that, there are times where you may just cold call a company and start with the human resources department and say, I'm so-and-so, I'm in the process of, I need more information. Mm-hmm. Would someone be able to meet with me, talk to me, and half hour, whatever the time is, that helps. In terms of personally, again, I think I said it earlier on, I left university with an ego, which was quite big, and very confident. I exuded confidence, and it was, at the time, the business degrees were far more valued, I think, than the arts degree. And so it was what was going to get me in, and it was back to the entry-level positions and trying to sell myself and all of that. And so it was starting at the bottom and moving around and looking for opportunities. And I remember I started in the IT department doing coordination with Crown Life, so an insurance company. And I thought, coordinate. So did it for 6 months, and I learned the whole thing and got bored. And then went to my boss and said, I'd like to do more. Can I train how to use email, or can I train how to use Excel? Or, and he said, sure, no problem. You know, here, work with so-and-so, they'll help you. But to my surprise, I didn't have that side of my brain really developed in terms of the technical piece. And I was lucky because in the company, Crown Life, they had an opening internally. So look for companies where you can grow, because usually most companies like to see talent move from within, especially at those entry-level positions. So that's a question that you can ask when you go through your interview process on, you know, are there opportunities to grow and develop with the company? Can we move? Whatever you'd like to drive. And then, again, it's back to looking at, I think you said it was embarrassing. I walked into work every day and thought, I can't believe I have a degree. 4 years, I studied in France, I studied in Italy and Quebec, and I'm now taking orders from everyone else but myself, and thought, this is the worst thing ever, because most of my friends were all teachers, and when I heard their salaries, I was like, oh, geez, I should have gone into that, you know, it was great. And so it was this pride thing that came in place, but I kept, you know, it's like, I have to gain experience. And so when I landed in HR, again, at the entry-level position, so here we are again, another year of entry-level, it's back to making your boss know that you want to learn, that you want to grow, that you can do more than what the title says. So again, I was the coordinator, and within my first year, I started to design training programs. I started to deliver training programs. You know, by the time I left, I had curriculums under my belt where I was in front of groups of people. And it's taking that risk of, geez, you know, I think the pivotal point for me was when my boss got sick, and she had booked training sessions because she was going to take me under her wing, and we were going to design, develop all these programs, and she said, don't worry about it, everything is up here, I'll teach you. Great, this is excellent. She called in on Monday, the courses were going to start on Wednesday, and said, I'm not going to be in for I don't know how long, I'm very sick. And I thought, oh, great, where am I going to get this? And so what I did was, and she said, you can cancel everything or do it, I don't care. So I thought, Jesus, I'm not losing this opportunity. And I literally went in her office, went through binders, and you know, she allowed me to participate in meetings, so I knew what people wanted. And the night before, I would be designing to present the next day. That night, I'd go home till 3 a.m, do things, come in and present. And you know, looking back, I was in my early 20s with no experience. I am teaching people career pathing and career planning and leadership and management, but it's that risk. And I thought, well, I wrote essays, research is the same, I'm going to put some stuff together, I've been in enough sessions where I know. And that was the turning point where I thought, geez, I did it. And people around me came to me and said, I never thought you wouldn't do it. So it's building that circle and the confidence in yourself to take the risk. What's the worst that can happen? As long as, you know, if you're going into private sector, that business doesn't lose millions of dollars, you're okay. You know, if that happens, well then, you know, reconsider it. But it's really taking the risk and looking at those opportunities, and complacency, you know, in today's environment, not there. You know, you can't be steady eddies and think, once I get in, I'll be here. Unless that's what you want and you're happy with that, but you have to keep up with the development and those skill building.
From what I heard, if I could summarize, you just said complacency. Don't be complacent. You know, always look for the next challenge. Always look for opportunities. Always look for someone else to mentor you or to mentor, and to grow. Ways to grow and people to grow with and that kind of thing. And then you will continue to move forward in your career. Okay. Does anybody have a final question before we wrap up for the?
And I guess you all do.
We look beat up, don't we?
question is more about how you balance or family life with work life.
I'll start because I have two children. Julia's now 19 and Alex is 16. When I worked at Bombardier Aerospace, I never worked so hard, but I never had as much fun. But my family never suffered as much. I forgot my kids in daycare. It was this adrenaline rush of, gotta do this, gotta do that. And I did forget my children in daycare. I forgot birthdays. It was just because I was so engaged in what I was doing. But I look back on it with fond memories because it is funny. How can a mother forget their children at daycare, you know? And lucky I had my mom was my emergency contact, and when I called her, I was like, how dare you? You know, but it's that balance. And I think for me, what worked is, although that time I forgot my children, 5:30 for me is the cutoff point. And I made it very clear to my employer, and I think employers have become more
more demanding.
They're demanding, but I think they're more aware of that work-life balance. I think what you will find in organizations today is that there is importance placed on that work-life balance, whatever that means to you. So it's not that everyone leaves at five, but there's flexibility from starting times, any times, working at home. Technology has helped quite a bit, and I think it's that. For me, it was. My husband was also a professional and works on his own, so he had his career. So we're both going down this path at 100 miles, 100 kilometers a minute, and all of a sudden that day of forgetting my kids at daycare was something's got to give. And so you have to readjust and never be embarrassed, because I had a real, if you're open with your manager, I had a good boss and allowed me that flexibility. Mm-hmm. But I had to tell myself to stop. Like, no one told me, stay there till 10 o'clock. I did it. Mm-hmm. So you have to tell yourself that at a certain time. So from that day on, the latest 5:30, and I would be out of there with, Blackberries and everything else. And I made it work. And it's harder when they're younger, because I can look back now and say, they're older, they're self-sufficient. They still like a routine, but I don't have to rush home for daycare or feed them or whatever. So it is difficult.
My kids are in their 20s now. I made lists and lists and lists and lists. So that I need to get this done, but this is really important. So this, I'm going to put this at this time of the day. There's no question that being a teacher, I have summers off, so I could be with my kids in the summer, but I was teaching demanding courses, and so when my kids went to bed, I started marking. And I marked until 11:30 every night. But I did get home early. So I think when I watch my sisters, who also have kids and who also have jobs not in teaching, it sounds like it's a variation on a theme. That you, a huge part of time management. That's why I mentioned don't undersell yourself from having completed a degree. That the time management skills that you learn here from having, and throughout your life, will serve you in other spheres.